Luke 17, we're in the month of November. I can't believe we're already to Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? Man, this year has flown by. It has gone so quickly. But I'm so thankful that we've made it thus far by God's grace. And Luke 17 will be in this morning. Now, notice if you will, jump down to verse 11. Luke 17, 11, it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." A little bit of a interesting story, kind of snuggled right in the middle of chapter 17 of Luke, but it's a wonderful story, that we find an individual actually stop, turn around, and come back to just say thank you to Jesus Christ. In fact, in all of the New Testament, this is really the only individual who really said thank you to Christ. None of the apostles said thank you, particularly. I mean, they were grateful and happy to the Lord, obviously, but no one really said thank you. You ever like that? I'm like that often. Simply forgetting to say thank you. And so we think about this. As we come down to this Thanksgiving holiday this week, I want to encourage you, obviously, with that of being truly thankful. And we put the turkey out and get the family together and have all these things, and the world has no even inkling, no clue about what they're truly thankful for. You and I know what we're thankful for. And we look at this morning, this man, this individual, who turned around and said, thank you. I'm reminded of the story. The man was given a parrot for his birthday. And the parrot was a talking parrot. And the parrot, he brought it into the house and he put it in a little cage. And the parrot started talking. He said, do you say any words? And the parrot started squawk, squawk. You know, yeah, I say, hello, hello. We started using foul language. And he said to the parrot, parrot, don't say that. That's a bad word. Don't say that word. Parrot said foul language, more foul words. He started cussing and cursing and wouldn't stop. He said, good night, this parrot is annoying. And he called the store and he said, hey, this parrot's, you know, he's using foul language in the house. And who taught him this? You know, I don't know. He picked it up probably at the pet store here or there. Okay. He says, well, what do I do about it? The store owner said, I have no clue. He says, I mean, you can bring him back, you know, this and that. He said, well, no, I'll keep him for a few days. Well, the parrot wouldn't stop. He kept using foul language for 3 days. He finally says, that's enough. He walks in and grabs that parrot, opens the freezer door and puts him in the freezer and shuts the door. He says, I cannot deal with this. I cannot listen to this one more minute. And the parrot got real quiet. And he thought, man, that's not right. That's not right. That's cruel. That's really cruel. And he says, I shouldn't do that. He goes over and opens the freezer up and the parrot standing there, you know, cold. He pulls it out. He says, now, are you going to stop using foul language? The parrot says, absolutely. He says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Please forgive me. He said, wow, what's the change of mind? He said, just don't do to me what you did to the turkey. Okay, I promise I won't do it. You think about sometimes we're not thankful, right? Jesus Christ comes to this individual and he heals these men. Now, very interesting. I want you to notice with me here briefly. First of all, notice Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, you know the context here, I'm sure, but chapter 17, we're making our way down ultimately to the end of Luke, where he will come and enter into Jerusalem and he will give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus Christ is making his way. He is focused on his mission. He's focused on his mission. As he comes through, he says he comes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, entered into a certain village. There met him these 10 lepers. These 10 individuals got together because they were outcasts. Nobody else wanted them. They had to get together with, you know, you hear the old saying, get in where you fit in, you know. You think about that, to get together. Nobody wanted them. They had a debilitating disease. Now, today we know that leprosy is still present in the world. There's certain places that have it. Praise God for in America, primarily. We do not have it, but we thank God for that. But you think about this disease that they had, but all of us may not have the leprosy, but we do have a disease called sin, and you know that. And these individuals said, there's nothing else we could do. And you and I came to a point in our lives where we said, there's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else that will solve my problems except Jesus Christ. And they had heard the fame of Jesus. They had heard of who he was. And as they saw him pass by, they yelled out. They yelled out, Jesus, Jesus, help us, help us. He comes through this area. Now, this man that he heals particularly, that returns and gives thanks, is called a Samaritan. As you know, a Samaritan was a half-Jew, if you will. He was half-Jew, half, if some were half-Gentile, others were half other things. But they were a mixture. And the Jews, the pure Jews, if you will, did not want anything to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus made it a point on at least three different occasions to go through Samaria, didn't he? If you know some of your world history, but also your church history or biblical history, you know that the Jews up in Galilee, where Jesus was from, it's kind of the hill country, kind of the more the country folk. In order to come down south into Jerusalem particularly, they'd come in and do their buying and selling, and they'd do their coming to do the feast and the Passover and other things that they would do. And they'd come down through there, but they would take actually a 3, 4, 5, I'm not exactly sure, mile detour around Samaria just so they didn't have to go straight through it because of that prejudice. And so understanding and thinking about that, Jesus made it a point to go through Samaria. He did it on several occasions. He told the disciples in John chapter 4, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? And they said, what for? He says, he didn't say it, but we know later, he says, I've got business to handle. And he goes and sits on a well, and there comes a woman out, and she starts to draw water, and he says to her, I'll give you water, you never thirst again. And you know the story, she gets saved and goes and tells the other people of the village. But you think about it, Jesus makes it a point here. Now notice, why should we be thankful? And Jesus just simply wants a thank you, a thank you, a thank you. Well, first of all, notice this, that Jesus most of the time does his best work in what's called, verse 12, a certain village. He doesn't even give a name to it. It's not even named. It's not even an important stop, an important, right? It's just a town out in the middle of nowhere. But let me remind you, Jesus does his best work in places like this, in houses like yours, in family. You say, oh, I'm nothing. Yeah, God wants to do something with you. It is not until we abase ourselves and humble ourselves, you know that, then Jesus will use us ultimately. God can use us. But notice he enters into a certain village. I'm so thankful that he came to our little church, and some would look and say, boy, you're out in the middle of nowhere. You're on the backside of the mountain, the middle of nowhere. We say, yeah, we know that. I've heard it many times. Why are you way out there? Why are you over there? You're not going to make much headway there. We say, well, God put us here. God put us here. Now think about that. These men huddled together, and they had a problem, and the problem that they had was this leprosy. And leprosy, you know, throughout the Bible is a type of sin. And you and I know this, that we are all sinners. And I try to share that with folks often. You understand that you are a sinner. On the back of our tract that we have, our invitation card, it clearly lays out that we understand point number one, recognize your condition. And your condition is you're a sinner. That's not an insult. I've shared the gospel with people before and I've said that and they got insulted. What are you calling me a sinner? I say, no, sir or ma'am. I'm not calling you a sinner. I'm just saying that we're all sinners. The Bible makes that clear. We have a condition that we're in, the state of being that we're in. We need a Savior. We need somebody to come, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. And notice verse 13, they lifted up their voices. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Do you know individuals, they want what Jesus has to offer, but they don't want Jesus? That's what they said. Hey, Jesus, heal us. Heal my family, take care of us, keep my kids from getting sick and my wife from getting cancer, and keep me healthy. And by the way, don't let anything bad happen to me this week. Oh, but don't ask me to do anything. You ever feel that way? That's me. Lord, don't ask me to share the gospel. Don't ask me to invite them to church. Oh, that's a little too much. Don't ask me to be a, a godly testimony at work. Don't ask me to do that. But these men, they wanted what Jesus had. They wanted what Jesus had to offer, but they did not want him as their Savior. It's a sad state of being. Now, Jesus makes this clear, and he says in the end, there's going to be many that come to Jesus, many, not few, but many that say, Lord, Lord, it's me. And Jesus says, what? I never knew you. You wanted the benefits of Jesus, but you never knew him. And he says, you never knew me. I never knew you. How sad that is today. If we're truly going to be thankful, we have to understand the person that we are thanking, from whom all blessings flow, we sing the song. We understand today that we're not only in a mess of sinfulness, and praise God, he brought us out of that, that are saved. But we secondly know that he works in sometimes mysterious ways. And he healed them. He said, yeah, I'll heal you. I'll heal you. And he waited. You know, Jesus, as we say often, I say it kind of tongue in cheek, but Jesus is truly a gentleman. He doesn't twist our arm at all to serve. He doesn't twist our arm to serve him. He never twists anyone's arm to get saved, does he? It's a free gift. And if you want to take the gift, you can take it. If you don't want the gift, then so be it. And you think about this today. If you are not saved, let me encourage you with this. Reach out and take the free gift. Take it. Just because you're good and just because mom and dad are Christians and grandma and grandpa are good, godly people does not mean by automatic default you're going to enter into heaven. That's what some people think. You have to, as an individual, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you? But you think about this today. They wanted all that Jesus had to offer, but did not want to serve him as Lord and Savior. And you and I must make him Lord and Savior of our lives and say, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You do with me what you want me to do. And Paul puts it this way in Romans 12. It's a reasonable service, meaning it's the least we can do. It's simply say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm willing to do it. God bless you folks. I think of almost all of you in here have made mention of that. Brother Tim, what do you want me to do? What can I do to be a blessing? Oh, what a blessing to know that and to be a part of this family. But I think about here. Now notice verse 14. Let's continue. He says, when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." Now, Jesus reiterates again and again. He says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to what? Fulfill the law. That's what he's saying. Go show the priest. Well, that was what they were supposed to do. A leper under the Levitical law was to go and show himself to the priest and say, look, priest, I'm healed. And the priest will examine him or her and say, okay, according to the written word the Lord gave to Moses, you are healed. And now you can enter back into normal society. So he says, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine and see this with me? They're walking down and all of a sudden their skin starts changing and they just know it. I'm cleansed. I'm whole. And they start hooting and hollering, having a good time. And one of them, you might want to underline that in your Bible. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, giving thanks. You think about today, it says one of them. You know, God just needs one person. He just needs one. One person. You know the difference you could make in your work environment, the difference you could make in your own home, the difference you could make around your grandkids, the difference you could make wherever you are, just one person. God would never use me. Yes, he will if you'll avail yourself and submit yourself to him. He'll use you in a mighty way. He'll use you. He used one man, not some man down in Egypt who was mighty and rich and wealthy and popular. He used some guy on the backside of the desert leading some stinky, nasty sheep in Moses, didn't he? He called a man out of the Ur of the Chaldees, the middle of nowhere, by the name of Abram, to go and become a father of his own people, of the nation of Israel. He took a young boy in the backside of the desert leading sheep who was an outcast, who was a nobody, who his brothers thought he was nothing because he was basically, his father had committed adultery and produced David and all of these things. He was a nobody. And God said, I'll use you. When others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king. You think about that. Isn't that wonderful? You may not be much, and I know I'm definitely not much. Don't have a lot. Not very talented. Can hardly find my way out of a wet paper sack. But praise God, He's using me. And I have to often stop. And the Holy Spirit says, Tim, oh, it's not you. Remember, it's me that's doing that. Yes, Lord, forgive me. Help me and guide me. I'm just saying today, there's just one of them turned around and it marveled Jesus. You remember we went through this, about a month ago. The man that made Jesus marvel, the faith that he had, a Gentile man had faith. And he turned around, notice, and with a loud voice. When you are truly touched by the Master, you are truly healed by Jesus Christ. You're not a silent secret service type of a Christian. It says with a loud voice, I want to praise God and share with other people the wonderful news of the gospel. I want to reach other people. You may be a little bit more introverted and not real boisterous in that, but you can truly with your lifestyle. You serve Christ. You let people know where you are and where you stand with a loud voice. Let me say that you can thank God right where you are. You don't have to have a lot of people around you to thank Him. Thank Him where you are. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for all that He is doing. Now notice verse 17, and Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now here's a question. Again, we said before, Jesus and God the Father never ask questions to obtain an answer. They're omniscient. The Lord is omniscient. He knows everything. So He asks questions just like your parents did when you were little. What did you do? Well, they already know the answer to that. But you and your in your elementary mind, you thought, well, they're asking a question. I didn't do anything. They already know the answer. They're trying to get you to realize where you are. They're trying to get you to realize that you're lying and you're in a state of disobedience. Now, God does the same. Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He wants this man to realize what he did. Where are the rest of them? Where's everybody that says they love the Lord and praise God and hoot and holler and have all these? Where are they at? It shows up real, real clear on Sunday morning, doesn't it? Oh, I love the Lord. I want to praise Him and serve Him. And oh, I love the Word of God. Oh, but I can't make it. Oh, I want to. Where were the 10? Where were the 9? Excuse me. Weren't there 10? Weren't there 10? And the guy looks around. Yeah, you're right. You call those people your friends? I would get away from those guys quickly. You and I need to understand that. You and I need to see, Lord, help me to be more thankful. Help me to understand. And when we go off, and sometimes when there's money in the bank and everything's good, the kids are healthy, nothing's really going awry, you don't have a lot of stress, if you're like me, I don't thank God enough. I don't really thank Him as much as I should, do I? But when things go bad, and they go south, I start going, oh, Lord, help us and guide us and bless us and be with us. I'm just saying today, you want to have a truly thankful heart. Remember what God did. Remember. And ask yourself questions. Have I not been where I need to be? Am I not doing what I should be doing? Remember when and look back at what God has done. Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Now, he uses the word stranger, obviously, because this man is not a Jew, but he's a stranger. He's a Samaritan. And God does His best work with people like that. Jesus, in fact, says later in John, I have a flock, not of this fold, but I have another flock somewhere else, speaking of us Gentiles, that He says, I will bring with me as well, and one day that flock will become one. That's us one day when we get to Christ, don't we? We get to heaven. But he noticed he does his great work. He does his great work. There were many individuals throughout Scripture that had this leprosy. You remember a man by the name of Naaman back in the Old Testament. And he was a mighty man. He was a general of a great army. And they sent him over there to see the great prophet. And the prophet comes down, Elijah, and says, what? Go into the wash in the River Jordan this many times and come back out and you'll be cleansed. And he got mad, didn't he? Your river? It's a little mud puddle compared to the rivers we have. I mean, you ever flown over the Rio Grande River? And you look down and go, that's a river. I mean, it's a little stream of mud, you know. Or you ever gone over the Mississippi? You go, that's a river. That's a river right there. You think about it. That's what he said, the Jordan River, that muddy, nasty little stream. And his servants said, sometimes the servants have more horse sense than the master. They said, why don't you just go do it? If that's all he's asking you to do, why don't you go do that? And he says, well, okay, I'll go do it, I guess, in his pride. And he goes down and dips down and washes and comes up, and he's healed. Hey, praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you've done. That's what happens, doesn't it? Leprosy is sometimes brought on to people that were disobedient. Disobedient. And you think about this throughout Scripture. If we'll trust the Lord and remember where we came from, remember what we have in Him. Remember what we have. Remember where you came from. Let me say fourthly here. A lot of people forget where they came from. This leper turns around. He's running away and he's going, praise God, I'm healed. Take it. And he stops dead stride, doesn't he? Let me turn around. Better thank him. Why? Because he remembered what he was. You and I forget sometimes where we came from. I heard the story of a great athlete that was very, very famous. And one reporter came to him and said, why are you so humble? Why are you always giving to other people? Why are you not like the other athletes and real proud and pompous and full of yourself? And he said this statement, I haven't forgot where I came from. And he came, you know, from the backwoods of nowhere in a little tiny town and grew up dirt poor. He says, I haven't forgot where I came from. And you and I forget where we come from. We forgot where we came from. We were once as well a leper, if you will, a sinner. And Jesus Christ came, and I don't know who it was for you, but your mom or dad or brother, sister, a pastor, a friend, somebody shared the gospel with you and sat down and opened the Bible and shared with you the wonderful news of the glorious gospel. But I just want to remind you, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what you have in Him. How can I be truly thankful? Remember that. Remember Him. He entered into a certain village, the backside of nowhere. There met Him. Now, I don't know. Apparently, Jesus Christ is alone at this point. His apostles had gone before Him, or they had gone to do something else. I don't know. But Jesus was all alone. Can you imagine sitting or walking out and seeing Jesus sitting all alone on that well there in Samaria? And the Samaritan woman comes out, and she's scratching her head. She's going, who is this guy sitting here? Who is this guy? He's just sitting alone. And yet the power and the person, he says, if you knew who I was, if you knew who I were, you would ask of me what? You would ask of me. Not just for water, but for the water that springs up into life that you never thirst again. And I think about that. Oh, Jesus, He's just waiting sometimes for us to invite Him into the church. He's just waiting sometimes for us to invite Him into the home. When's the last time we invited Him into the home? Have your will and way in our home. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. Have your will and way into the church, Lord. Just thank You. I titled the message, A Simple Thank You. A Simple Thanks. Just thank You. Oh, thank You, Lord, for all that You have done. He gives the story often throughout Scripture of individuals that were simply thankful, just thankful. Today, are you thankful for what God has done for you? I know you are, but have you truly just stopped and said, thank You? Lord, thank You for eyes to see. Thank You for ears to hear. Thank You for a right mind. Thank You, God, that I'm not in a funeral home today planning. Thank You, Father, that I'm not in some waiting room awaiting some news. Thank You, Father, that I have what I have. I'm standing upright. I can walk. I have my extremities. I have a Bible in my own language. I have a church to go to. I have family. I have friends. Above all, God, thank You. I have my salvation in You. A simple thank You. Lord, thank You for what You've done. We think about this. Now, notice I want to close out here and conclude with this last point. If you'd go back with me to verse number six, he said, if you had faith, the grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you having a servant, notice plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. says, I say not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which were commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Now this precedes the story that's given, the scenario that's happening. He says, a servant that's worked all day, he comes in, puts his feet up on the table and looks back and says to the boss that pays him, whew, hard day. Hey, give me something to drink. Hey, can you grab me something to eat, by the way, too? And, oh, grab me an aspirin. No, he says, I don't think so. In fact, he comes into the house and he goes, Master, Lord, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to help you? And then does he say, oh, well, thank you for doing that? No, he's doing his duty, isn't he? He's doing that. Your boss, when's the last time your boss thanked you? I don't know. Maybe. No, you're doing your duty. You're doing what has been asked of you to do. You're doing what's been, you're being paid to do. Now think about that. So often we'll thank the Lord, we'll thank Christ, we'll thank Him when what? Whatever. Well, no, it's your duty to do. It's your duty. It's what we have in Him. Thinking about that this morning, do you thank Christ? Are you thanking Him? I know you are. As we think about this story today, there were 10 of them. Just one came back and thanked Him. I think we're going to take a back seat to a lot of people in heaven that we've never even heard of. A little old lady in the back that watches the babies. Maybe a little old man that comes early, turns the lights on and the heater on at the church. I don't know. I think we're going to take a back seat. A lot of these prominent pastors and preachers and whoever they think they are going to take a back seat to some of these folks, to some of you folks that are so faithful, never asking for anything, never asking for an accolade or a pat on the back. No, you're doing it. Why? Because you love Jesus. And in essence, you're saying, thank you. It's the least I can do. It's the least I can do. Paul says, Lord, what can I do? It's the least I can do for the Lord, for the Savior, and all that He's done for me. Dying on the cross, shedding His blood for me, a nobody. Working in my heart, working in your heart to get you to the place where you are today as a child of God. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him? It says, and one of them said thanks. Not many people are thankful to God, but you can be. You can be today. And by the way, it's the will of God that we're thankful. It's the will of God. We'll look a little bit more at this tonight, Lord willing. But he says to the church at Thessalonica, he says, it's the will of God that we're thankful. We thank Him. Why? Because we're acknowledging that He's in control. No matter the circumstances, if it's good, bad, or ugly, we're saying, Lord, I don't understand it, but I thank You for it. And what we're saying is what? I acknowledge Your sovereign will in my life. I acknowledge You're in control, and I trust You, and I praise You, and I want to please You with my life. Amen. All right. Lord, thank You for an opportunity this morning to share Your word. Once again, I praise You for these folks. They're so faithful to You, and I thank You. I praise that You would, Lord, continue to guide us as we start our week out, another week of life. We're so grateful to You. Help us to do our part, Lord. Help us to be faithful to You. Give us Your wisdom. Give us Your discernment. Give us Your strength. As the battle rages around us, Lord, help us, God, to do what we're supposed to do. But above all, Lord, we thank You. I myself do not thank You as I should, as often as I should. And I do thank You. Thank You for all that You continue to do, but above all for the salvation we have in You. Thank You, Lord. We love You. In Jesus' precious name, and amen.